Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with the idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow.
Fourth commandment. As you can see, if you want to do pidgin English, on Sunday, no can do nothing. Okay, so there's on Sunday, no can do nothing. Pidgin English for the fourth commandment. But as we come to this fourth commandment today, I find myself with a real dilemma. You probably don't have any dilemmas like this, but I find a real dilemma. In my growing up years, I witnessed my parents both break this commandment every week without fail. And at the same time, I also witnessed my parents obey this command every week. I won't say without fail, but obey this command every week. And I really mean both of those statements. As you most of you will know, I was brought up on a dairy farm. And so being brought up on a dairy farm, cows get milked twice a day, every day, including Sundays and Saturdays, Christmas Day, Easter Sunday, Good Friday. So every Sunday, my family, particularly Mum and Dad, would milk the cows, work on Sunday, and they were clearly breaking the command. But I also witnessed every Sunday, even though it was a risk, we would also get ourselves ready for church and make sure that we would attend the worship service. Then on Sunday afternoon, everyone would have a rest. That was after we had made sure that we had stew for lunch, and then we'd all have a rest. And on that time, Dad would play the organ, but it was always a time of relaxation. Mum and Dad took the principle of rest very seriously. Very seriously. So they were both right and wrong all at the same time. There wasn't 24 hours set aside. There was still a work schedule. Yet it was truly and properly the Lord's Day. So I'm not sure. Should I reprimand Mum next time I'm chatting to her for setting a poor example? Or thank her for establishing godly principles? I'm erring on the side of thanking her. I'd like you to take a few moments though. I know you hate this, but I would like you to do it. Just for the people around you, just to chat for a few moments. The rights and the wrongs of that reality. And what you think God would be thinking, particularly since there is the fourth commandment on the Sabbath day, you should rest. All right, so you've got a few moments to chat through that and think about what should be and whether or not I need to give my mum a hard time, okay? I'll just go get my phone and I'll let mum know what the verdict is. All right, so what do people think? All right, what do people think about this? Yep. That's right. Okay, good. Should have been a rest day. How nasty that they would milk the cows. Okay, double negative or triple negative or a... Yeah, but... all right. What? Yes, Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that's a pretty good paraphrase. Okay. Yes, up the back there. Not. Make sure you get it the right way around, okay? Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, no, that's a fair point. Yeah. Yep. Sorry. Oh, we got it. Yep. God isn't setting out to establish a set of rules that are burdensome. That was never his task. And he's not about stealing our freedom or stealing our joy. They aren't rules to make our life miserable, but rather opportunities for us to enjoy a life that God desires to give us. He actually set up the Sabbath, the idea of rest, for our well-being, for us to rejoice in. It wasn't to be a burdensome law. So why are we fighting against it? Why are we trying to determine the legality of it? Why are we trying to determine the theology of it? Why are we trying to determine when did we move from Sabbath to the Lord's Day? Rather than just rejoicing in and trying to establish a gift that God has given to us. A lot is made of the passage we have read from today, Colossians 2. And I think rightly so. It really is one of those passages that reiterates what we are saying each week in this series. No, we are not bound by the Ten Commandments. We are not under law. We are under grace. That's the truth. They are not a burden we have to carry. Not a burden we have to carry, as the law says so. Do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regards to religious festivals, a new moon celebration, whether you have to drive a truck down to the markets on a Sunday to get fresh fruit and vegetables, whether you have to milk the cows, what you wear to church, or how you worship. Doesn't say all those things I have much. And don't let anyone judge you about how you treat the seventh day. These are a shadow of those things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So the point here today is not the law itself. But once again, it speaks of the heart of God, the reality that he really does desire what is best for us. He wanted what was best for the Israelites. That's why he set it up. What is best for us today. So today is mostly about stopping the battle and giving ourselves over to it. The heart of what God knows is best for us is what he desired. I see this command a lot like the battle that we have with a 1 and 2 year old. A little kid, they come and they get so tired, and the last thing they want to do is go to sleep. Fortunately, Brianna is here today, our daughter, because I wanted to use her as an illustration, so I'd hate her to miss this. But when she was about 2, more than anything else, she hated having a daytime nap. It was the worst thing. What a horrible parent I was trying to make her have a sleep. And she would fight it. And so what I would do is I would lie down beside her, and I would put my arm around her, and she hated that. When that arm, while my arm went around her, she would wiggle and she would squirm, but she also knew she was not going to win. She knew she was not going to get up when that arm, that mighty arm of her dad came around her. She would get to the realization, maybe I should just go to sleep. And so what we're talking about today is the mighty arm of God just wants to come around us and simply say, why don't you just rest? Why don't you take that time out? It is for our well-being. It is what God wants for us. You know, she was always brighter. Brianna was always brighter after she had that rest. And she was restored to what she should be, a fun, loving little girl just wanting to enjoy the rest of the day. God wants us to enjoy life, and he wants us to rest to get that moment. So why are we struggling with this command when really we're not really any better than a 1 or 2 year old when we try and fight, try to wriggle, try and squirm away from what God has established for us? As the Jewish nation heard this command, they quickly set about establishing sub-laws of what constitutes work. And they set up a police system by which if someone was found to be breaking the law, they were appropriately punished. There were laws like you can carry a teaspoon of sugar. That was okay, that's not work. But if you carried a tablespoon of sugar, that was work. And you needed to be appropriately punished. And that actually was a law. That was one of the laws. So they established all of these laws. And then as the years have gone by now in the Jewish tradition, they have got a new set of laws to make sure that the Sabbath is honoured. There's no writing on the Sabbath. Are you writing over there? No writing. You're not allowed to write on the... No writing. But you can't rub it out either. Okay, so there's no erasing. No business transactions. No driving or riding in cars or other vehicles. No shopping. No use of a telephone. No turning on or off anything which uses electricity. Things like lights, radio, TV, computers, air conditioners, alarm clocks. No cooking or baking. No gardening or mowing, no doing laundry. So it hasn't changed. They have all these laws. You see, it really becomes a command completely centered around what you couldn't do. That was not God's intention. How clear did God have to make it? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, so that on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. And on that day, you shouldn't work. But your sons and daughters have the day off. Anyone who works for you, let them enjoy a break. Or your employees, let them spend the day somewhere else rather than at your organisation. You need to rest and let the people around you rest. God didn't just say it once or twice. He repeated it over and over again. This is probably the most explained commandment of all that is there. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that there is within it. He rested on the seventh day. But God wasn't tired. He could probably have gone another 1 or 2 days in his creating thing. God wasn't tired. But he knew that he needed to establish a principle that would be valuable for us. The principles are what we're looking at today, not the legality. And this whole series is not about us looking at the legality. It never has been. It's about the principle. As has been picked up, you really will have noticed, I'm not addressing the Sabbath being sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. Should we still be particular about that timing? Or is Sunday appropriate? I haven't worried about that today because God's not worried about calendars or weekly planners or schedules. He's far more interested in people's hearts. He's far more interested in us being restored. Restoring our body, restoring our soul, He really wants for us things like that psalm that we probably know better than any other psalm, Psalm 23. He wants Psalm 23 to be our testimony. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me, and I love that word, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He puts his arm around me, and he restores my soul. Surely that's what we're talking about today. Having our body restored and having our souls restored. For us today also takes a high priority for us to come here today, to come and worship and to praise God. We want to come and to bring in our tithes into the storehouse. We want to come and recognise God's goodness that he has shown to us. We want to be encouraged, and we want to also encourage others here at church. I personally find all the conversations we have before church and after church uplifting for me. And even though some of the conversations that we have will be light-hearted and jovial, there's something rich, isn't there, about being with Christian friends, Christian brothers and sisters. This is a moment when we can have our souls restored. There are lots of times when we need our souls restored because the busyness and the struggles of life steal stuff from us. Our souls get damaged and we need to be topped up. Maybe we should have a sign over the door of our church where this is a soul refueling station. A soul refueling station. Sure, all of that doesn't have to take place here. Our souls can be restored anywhere. We can do that when we have our personal devotional time. And there's something precious about our private prayer. And I know they're treasured moments. But this time is God's gift. This moment we have here is, once again, God's gift to us. I think a perfect example of this is how Jesus really applied this command and how the religious authorities condemned him for it. I'd just like to read Mark 3. If you have your Bibles there, you might like to turn to Mark 3 and verses 1 to 6. Mark 3, 1 to 6. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "What is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save lives or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with Herodians how they might kill Jesus. See, there is an account of Jesus healing a man with a shriveled hand. Now surely healing is working. He probably shouldn't have done that on the Sabbath, because he could have said to this man, "Come back tomorrow. You've had a shriveled hand for a long time. You had a shriveled hand since birth. Let's fix it tomorrow." But as Jesus said, the Sabbath is for doing good. The Sabbath was for restoring people, helping make people whole. The Sabbath was for us. It was for us to honour our God, to give our praise and our worship. This moment for the man with a shriveled hand and all who looked on had the potential to be a moment that people would never forget. You imagine, for that man, the Sabbath all of a sudden became a moment of greatest joy. Everyone who else was around the temple who saw it, they could celebrate in it as well. No one was being burdened. No one was being asked to work. But restoration clearly took place. Yes, there was a restoring of a hand. But there was a restoring of a soul. And there was the restoring of people's relationship with their God. And what did the Pharisees do? They just looked on in disdain. who got it right and who got that wrong. As I'm looking through this command, there's one part of the command itself which I really struggled with. And it's particularly in the way in which it's worded in this command. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You might think that that all sounds straightforward. Where it seems straightforward enough, I wonder whether there is a lot more to it than it seems. Now, what I'm about to share with you is a bit of a long way around, so please try and stay with me at least partway through that. It's a bit of a long way around to get there, but I want to point out why it's a bit of a struggle. I asked the group of people who critiqued the sermon after the sermon last Sunday to consider a question. I don't know whether anyone remembered the question or whether you considered it. But the question I asked you was, what about Tuesday? What about Tuesday? See, like Saturday and Sunday, you know, Saturday and Sunday are the weekend. Monday's the first day of the week. Wednesday's hump day. Thursday and Friday sort of heading back towards the weekend. But what about Tuesday? What about Tuesday? Do we have to be holy on Tuesday? Or the other days, you know, we've got to keep the Sabbath holy, but what about all those other days? Do they have to be quite sort of less holy than the Sabbath? Somehow, you know, it's all right for us to break all the commands on the other days because you don't have to be holy those days, but you have to be holy on the Sabbath. And of course you're thinking there, that's ridiculous. Surely each day needs to be a day in which we dedicate that day to God. In all that we do at work or at play, they need to be days that are honouring God and dedicated to God. So surely each day needs to be a holy day. We need to keep Monday holy. We need to keep Tuesday holy. We need to keep Wednesday holy. So why say in this particular topic that we have to keep the Sabbath holy? I wonder whether the heart of what God is really saying here is God is really saying to us, there is real danger when we get to the point of resting and taking time out. If ever there's a time when our mind is likely to wander and wander in directions and thoughts that we wouldn't want it to be, it's usually when we're chilled out and relaxing. So God wants us to rest, but he also wants us to make sure that it's not just about rest. It is also making sure that we are giving our attention to God. Sometimes we get the resting right, and then we give our focus to God sort of on a back burner. So if we are to keep the Sabbath holy, then in our rest, in our relaxation, we need to make sure that all that we do is honouring God. I think God probably knew as well that the first thing that the Israelites would do as soon as he said the Sabbath is to be a day of rest, he's God. He knew that the first thing that they would do is make up all of these laws about all that you can and can't do. And before long, people are so focused on the law that they've forgotten to honour God in their rest. And that's what they've done. They continue to do it, many. And we can't really, I guess, blame them. We're the same. We get so caught up in what we can and we can't do that it no longer becomes a holy day. So when God said, keep this day holy, he was saying, don't make all the laws. Remember to honour me. And so he said, keep the Sabbath holy. When we rest, we need to honour God. So the question before us today is not what we can do or what we can't do on the Sabbath. The question before us today is not when the Sabbath should be. Should it be Saturday? Should it be Sunday? When should we have a time of rest? When shouldn't we have a time of rest? That's not the question before us. The question is this. Is it our desire to take time out? is our desire to truly rest, to have our souls restored, to have our bodies restored, to take time out that is holy time, set out, set aside for our God who loves us, our Heavenly Father. There's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of challenges in all that is before us. And the only way we can face those challenges in a way that honors God is for us to be restored. God established this fourth commandment on one central principle. And it is this. He loves us. He loves us. And he wants what best for us. Can I encourage you to be people who rest? Rest not just for your body to be restored, but rest so your soul can be restored. And as you rest, may it be a time that is a holy time dedicated. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this amazing principle. It's an extraordinary principle, which it's almost a wonder that we even try and fight against it. It's a beautiful example of your love for us. And so, Father, when we get caught up with what we think is more important, would you just pull us up and would you show us the beauty of what you have for us? Father, we realize that we live in a day when there are unusual tasks that have to be done on different days and in different circumstances. But there is a sense in which all of us can take that time to honour you and to honour the request you've made of us. Father, help us not to try and find excuses or reasons as to why we don't, but help us to live in the fullness of this love and this purpose.